Good morning and welcome to another edition of Studies in the Gospels right here on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McElyea, your host for this program, where each week we take a look at the life of Christ as found in the four Gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We're in a section of our study we are calling A Year of Development in and around Jerusalem. And today we're going to be in Luke chapter 11, and consider verses 37 through 54. You know, we can see the outward appearance of a man, but what does your life look like on the inside? What's going on inside of you? Is what people see the real you? Or is there a true you, and then the one that you just let people see? I think this is one of the issues that we face today. We're all so connected now with technology and have so many social friends, but no one really knows us anymore. Sometimes we feel alone, even though we seem to have a circle of friends. Jesus is going to look into this problem and help us find the solution to this difficulty. So let's go to our text in Luke 11, and we'll pick up in verse 37 as we see the scenario. And as he spoke, a certain Pharisee asked him to dine with him. So he went in and sat down to eat. When the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. So Jesus was still teaching, and this Pharisee invites him to dinner. Of course, now we recall the Pharisees were the so-called religious leaders and elite in Judaism in the days of Jesus. They were a select and important group who held strongly to the oral traditions passed down from their forefathers. Jesus goes with the Pharisee and sits at the table. And this self-righteous Pharisee is utterly shocked because Jesus did not first wash his hands. Now, this shock is not about hygiene. The Pharisee is not having a problem because he knows bacteria and viruses can be on the hands and the need to wash hands before putting one's hand in their mouth. Instead, the issue is about ceremonial cleanliness. Aren't you glad that we don't live under such a religious system? Listen to this from the Jewish literature that the Pharisees had. It said, the hands are susceptible to uncleanness, and they are rendered clean up to the wrist. Thus, if a man had poured the first water up to the wrist and the second water beyond the wrist, the water flowed back to the hand. The hand becomes clean. But if he poured both the first water and the second water beyond the wrist and the water flowed back to the hand remains unclean. If he poured the first water over the one hand alone and then bethought himself and poured the second water over one hand, his one hand is clean. If he had poured the water over the one hand and rubbed it on the other, it becomes unclean. But if he rubbed it on his head or on the wall, it remains clean. What a system to live under. But that's what they had developed as recorded in Jewish secular literature. But those were human rules, and they're not found in the scripture. Sometimes, though, people like to make rules to create conformity and submission. Jesus did not do this and did not subscribe to any human rules. Jesus enters the house and sits down at the table. You can imagine the Pharisees are over here doing this water routine, and Jesus is just watching and waiting on them. The Pharisee is shocked. And Jesus, of course, recognizes the shock in this Pharisee, and he's going to use the moment as a teaching opportunity. So let's continue on in verse 39. Then the Lord said to him, "Now you Pharisees make the outside of the cup and dish clean, but your inward part is full of greed and wickedness. Foolish ones, did not he who made the outside make the inside also? But rather give alms of such things as you have. Then indeed all things are clean to you." So Jesus addresses the issue. The Pharisees clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but on the inside they're full of greed and wickedness. Now this is a disturbing picture we get in our mind here. A dirty cup on the inside is not usable. Now, none of us would be thrilled with dirt on the outside of the cup, but at least it does not affect, or if it doesn't affect where we put our mouth, it's not a big concern. But a cup that's dirty on the inside is a useless cup. No one washes dishes and cleans only the outside of the cup. No one cleans the outside of the cup first and then acts like the cup is clean. But this is exactly what many religious people are doing. They're not starting with the inside, that is the heart. They're only concerned about ceremonial and external defilements. However, God made the internal and the external, and both count before the Lord. Many brethren today, without realizing it, have become just like them. Jesus says that the problem is the Pharisees, is that they're so concerned with these external acts to make sure they're not defiled or unclean on the hands, but do not care that they're defiled and their hearts are unclean. Oh, there's so much comparison here between those and their spiritual descendants today. Worrying about outward purity, but giving no concern to inward purity. But in verse 41, Jesus makes the point very clear. "But rather give alms of such things as you have. Then indeed all things are clean to you." Pay attention to your heart to find purity. Give from your heart. Generosity of heart will clean the inside of the cup completely. But Jesus does not leave the teaching here. He knows that we will justify ourselves and act like our hearts are clean. So Jesus is going to expose our hearts. Jesus is going to expose us from the inside out, so that we can see who we truly are. Now, so many times man is more concerned about the rules. Now, the rules are important, but that's not what's most important to God. Notice verse 42, "But woe to you, Pharisees! For you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass by justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone." The Pharisees were keeping commands. They were tithing and with great accuracy, but they're not obeying with a love for God or a love for what is right. They had lost the joy of giving in their tithing. They were keeping God's laws in some areas, but were ignoring the other commands of the law of God. Do you find joy in your giving today? Why did they not have the same meticulousness in keeping the rest of God's laws? They were concerned about certain commands, but not all of the commands of God. They neglected justice and the love of God. It's very easy for us to give heed to the commands we want to keep, but then ignore the commands we don't like. Most of us would not steal, but many of us will live outside of marriage with our boyfriend or girlfriend. We'll be honest and truthful, but cheat on our spouse. How many will obey the command to assemble together, but ignore the command for self-control? How many of us will do good to others, but ignore the command that marriage is for life and divorce their spouse? Churches will make sure that there are prayers and songs and the Lord's Supper, but ignore the world and not show them the love of Christ. How many Christians will not make sure that others understand what is happening so they can glorify God, as 1 Corinthians 14:24 and 25 teaches, where it says, "But if all prophesy and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all. He is convicted by all, and thus the secrets of his heart are revealed. And so, falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you." How often do we major at the things we're good at keeping and ignore the commands that do not appeal to us, or the commands we simply don't want to keep? True disciples are concerned about all of God's law. But notice the attitude of a Pharisee and the desire to be seen in verse 43. "Woe to you, Pharisees, for you love the best seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces." Too often we act because we want others to know that we're doing something for the Lord. We desire the attention and crave for people to see and note our spiritual accomplishments. We want people to know just how lucky God is to have us on his team. The Pharisees desired for the world to view them as pious and holy. They wanted people to know they were doing good works. They wanted people to know they were fasting. They would make sure people knew they were giving. But that's a grave error, for the attention must always be placed on Jesus and not self. Sometimes we have a pity party and become prone to think, "Nobody knows what all I'm doing for the Lord." That's not a bad thing, that's a good thing. Don't tell people what you're doing. Jesus said in Matthew 6:2 and during the Sermon on the Mount, that if you let people know what you're doing, then you have received your reward. You have not obeyed for the love of the Lord, but you want people to know what kind of Christian you are. Don't tell me what you're doing. Don't go up to others and tell them what you are doing. Just do it, and do it quietly. True disciples keep the focus on Jesus, and they don't want attention for the good they're doing in the kingdom. Verse 44 points out that because of this, if that is the case with you, you're spiritually dead and are defiling others. 44, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like graves which are not seen, and the men who walk over them are not aware of them. In Numbers 19, in verse 16, the law of Moses records that touching a grave or dead body made one unclean for 7 days. The Jewish leaders decided to mark and whitewash so that people would see the grave and not become defiled. We see Jesus using that likeness in his teaching. You're like unmarked graves. People who come in contact with you become defiled because you're spiritually dead. You're a corrupting influence. You don't help people spiritually, even though you might think you are, but defiling them instead because the inside of your cup is unclean. We do this when we leave a bad example. When we act selfishly, we are corrupting others. When we do not speak and act toward each other with love and godliness, we are defiling others with our rottenness. When we lack a zeal for the Lord, we are a corrupting influence. When we do not grow in our knowledge of the Scriptures, we are defiling others by our ignorance of God. We believe things that are not in the Scripture, teach things that are not in the Bible. We'll spout off things like, God helps those who help themselves. That's not in the Scripture anywhere, and it's the opposite of what the Scripture teaches. What misery is coming upon those of us who are dead on the inside, and worse, defile others with our filthiness. In verse 45, and notice how awesome this is, then one of the lawyers answered and said to him, Teacher, by saying these things, you reproach us also. As Jesus is pronouncing these woes on the Pharisees, one of the lawyers here at this dinner says, Teacher, by saying these things, you reproach us also. Jesus' response is great because he turns to the lawyers and starts pronouncing woes on them. Basically, Jesus is saying, I know. If we sit back and we're offended by these teachings, then we don't understand at all what we are supposed to be learning. Jesus is revealing our hypocritical lives. He is exposing the filth that is in our hearts. If our only reaction is that we are getting our feelings hurt and are being insulted and offended, then you've just revealed that you are the one Jesus is talking about. You're exposing your external religion and lack of inward purity. Verse 46 points out that we burden others but not ourselves. And he said, Woe to you also, lawyers, for you load men with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers. We're usually pretty good at this. We like to tell other people all the things they ought to be doing, but are unwilling to do ourselves. This happens all the time. People will complain, why doesn't the church do this or that? Why don't the elders do this or that? Why doesn't the preacher do this or that? Jesus answers the question with his own question. Why don't you do it? Stop putting burdens on others and you pick up the burden. There is so much that needs to be done. I think I need a little help. Why not I just do it? Stop telling other people's our good ideas and just do them. Consider, just because something sounds like a good idea for you in your life doesn't mean it is good for other people. Don't just assume that others are slackers. True disciples think of the work they can do and do not think of the work others can do for them. In verses 47 through 51, we see that we need to honor the people that we're ignoring. He said, "Woe to you, for you build the tombs of the prophets and your fathers killed them. In fact, you bear witness that you approve the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them and you build their tombs. Therefore, the wisdom of God also said, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they will kill and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the temple. Yes, I say to you, it shall be required of your generation." Jesus's point is this: your ancestors killed the prophets and you make sure they stay dead because you don't listen to them either. They were dishonoring the prophets by the lives they led, while outwardly showing reverence for the prophets. We can have the same rejecting spirit. We dishonor the apostles and prophets by continuing to practice sin in our lives. While we come to the assemblies and act like we honor God's holy word. But if we truly honor God's holy word, then we will do what he commands. We will put away our sinful activity. Stop sleeping around. Stop living with your boyfriend or girlfriend. The married will stop divorcing and remarrying. Spouses will stop cheating on their spouse. Men and women will stop engaging in wickedness. Stop pretending to love God when you're ignoring what God told you to do. A true disciple will honor God by honoring his word. You see, they had failed to be a light as they should have been. Verse 52, "Woe to you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter in yourselves, and those who were entering in you hindered. These so-called religious leaders were supposed to be leading people to the Lord. But instead, they were not. They were supposed to be teaching God's word to the people, and they were not. They were given the key to knowledge. They were given the tools to reveal God to the world. But not only did they not enter into God's kingdom, they prevented others from entering also. We are supposed to be leading people to salvation. We have been given the very words of God with the purpose of teaching people God's will. We are taking away the key to knowledge also when we refuse to enter because of our hypocrisy and then block others from learning because of our own defilements. Our cup is full of wickedness, and so we fail to share the knowledge of God with others. We confuse people when our lives do not match up with what we are teaching. Woe to us if we do not teach the Word of God to people. We have failed if we do not open God's Word and learn from it. We've failed if we don't share the gospel and instead bury the key to knowledge. The true disciple never forgets his mission to seek and save the lost. Verses 53 and 54, and as he said these things to them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to assail him vehemently and to cross-examine him about many things, lying in wait for him and seeking to catch him in something he might say that they might accuse him. What will you do with these words? Jesus' words had no effect on the scribes and Pharisees. They began to test him and provoke him to try to discredit Jesus. But Jesus' teaching is true, even if we don't want to hear it. But today, my friend, what is inside your cup? The reason we feel alone and secluded is because we may be living two lives, pretending to be Christians on the outside, but the inside is full of evil. We need to be cleansed from the inside out. You cannot draw near to God unless you give God your heart for cleansing. We close with Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Our time is up. I want to thank you for joining me today. I hope you'll tune in again next week at this same time for studies in the Gospels as we continue to look at the life of Christ. Remember, this program will be replayed this evening at 11 p.m. and posted to the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in a day or so. So until we meet again, this is Chris saying so long and have a great day.